Kentucky, and if you have never heard our pastor speak, you need to come back next week. He is the man, and it's an honor and a privilege to stand here in his stead. It's an honor to stand behind his pulpit, and I take it very seriously because, man, I respect and honor the man of God. And we're so excited that he didn't bring his wife with him this time. Huh? And Pastor Dean is just amazing. Worship was just off the hook this morning. And man, I just applaud and appreciate you and stand here today and say thank you for bringing the anointing, bringing just integrity, bringing just, man, the respect and honor that a pastor deserves in this place. And I thank you for that. Oh, okay, got that out of the way. Without crying. Y'all know I'm a crier. Daryl's laughing at me right now. Today, I want to just talk to you a little bit about this return on investment. For me, it's a vanilla latte. I can't do this every day. I'm a youth pastor. These cost $4 a day. We have to pay electricity. But if you want to give gift cards to my wife and I, please, Starbucks. March 9th is our anniversary. Thought I'd slip that one in. But the only way to get this is if you have some form of monetary value, if you have money or a gift card. That's the only way you can get a return for this vanilla latte. You know what I'm saying? I can't go there and all my good looks. Amen. Come on. I can't go in there and just say, can you please give me a vanilla latte? They'd look at me and say, I'm sorry, go out the door. They'd probably say it a little bit different than that. You're stupid. But they would say, you need something. You got to invest something. You got to sow something in order for you to get a return. The finance majors would call it an ROI, a return on your investment. And today, I want to kind of talk a little bit about that concept of investing your life in the right things. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And I've been chewing on this for about 2 weeks. I'm going to do what Pastor Paul says. Pastor Paul, he says, we're going to unpack this. Galatians chapter 6. Pastor Paul, our family pastor. His wife Elizabeth's here. Man, it's so good to see you in big church. It's very good to see you. You guys are amazing, and we're so happy to have you a part of our staff. It's just been a really cool time for our church. Thank you. If you walk into Air Apostle, kids, and you got $30, and you give that $30 for a pair of jeans. Now, I don't do that. I try to find it on sale for $7. That's all I'm going to pay for jeans. Amen? I went to the Buckle, and the Buckle, they have jeans for $100 with holes in them. You know you're getting old when you're like, no. I was at this D-Now conference with this Baptist church in the city, and there was a little girl, and they were painting, right? They were painting. A fit, so she had a $100 pair of jeans on. Abercrombie and Fitch, you ever heard of the store? Evil. She had paint. She painted her jeans. She had bought them 2 weeks ago, and she was like, I'm going to paint my jeans. I was like, dude, if I was your dad, I would... You might not be existing right now. That is not a good return on my investment in your jeans. But if you pay $30 and you lay it on the counter, you expect to walk out with some jeans. Amen? Now, how many of you have ever put 50 cents or 75 cents into a vending machine? Man, I would do this in high school. I was passionate about Twix. Okay? Okay, I'm still passionate about Twix. But every chance I could get, if I had a little leftover money from lunch, I would go to the vending machine. I'd pop it in. And I push F9 and a Twix would come out. Got a return on my investment. And I get that and then I go steal a Mountain Dew from one of the ninth graders. Because they went together good. But there was one time or a couple of times that I would press F9 and you know where I'm going. It would start to turn and it'd get stuck. You know, like at first you're like, hallelujah. And then you make sure no one's around and you start shaking it a little bit. That doesn't help. You try the arm technique. You go underneath. You try to get your head up in there. You know what I'm saying? You're just doing everything to get that return on your investment. I've lost my, I don't think I had salvation back then, but I would lose it. The joy of church on Sunday, I lost. If that vending machine stuck my return, oh man, I would just lose it. Because I invested something, I sowed something, and I was expecting to reap something in return. And it didn't happen, and I got a little ticked off. Galatians chapter 6. Yes, I said ticked off. Galatians 6, we're going to start in the 7th verse. And it says this, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. And it goes on, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the staff at Dominion Church. Oh, wait, I mean to the family of believers. I want to unpack these three verses today. And I really want to talk about this concept of investing your life. See, it starts out, what do you invest in? What are you investing in? How do you invest in? These are the questions we're going to answer today. What is your return? What's it based on? And how do you get your investment back? See, God says this in his word. He says, I cannot be mocked. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to this church, and he says, do not be deceived. What that tells me right there, I stop, and I'm like, do not be deceived. It must have meant that there were people in the church that were being deceived. There must have been some people that were misinformed. He said, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. See, if I sow into a mutual fund, how many of you know what mutual fund is? I started a class today with our juniors and seniors. And I said, here, we're going to talk about finances. And they're all like, I said, I want to talk about IRAs and mutual funds. And then they just blank looks like. Budget. I said, compound interest. You like that? And they're like, we just want to go shopping. Just let us go. And so I started thinking about this, and I was like, well, how do we get a return on our investment? Or why do some people think that they can sow $2 and get a Rolex? You know what I'm saying? Here's $2. Can I have your Rolex? No, you're going to get a Folex. You reap what you sow. It's a natural law, and he's speaking to this agriculture society, and they get it. Man, if I sow corn, I'm going to get corn. Pumpkins ain't going to come out. You know what I'm saying? If I sow the corn, I'm expecting to get corn. And that's where he's talking right here. And he's saying, you know what? I don't want you to be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Many of us, and it's probably these people back here, but maybe there's someone here, and it's probably me. Sometimes I feel like I can do ungodly things and still get God's blessing. Maybe that's why they were being deceived. Maybe they weren't mocking God with their mouths. How many of you got kids? Teenagers. My parents pointed at me. I do youth here. They mock me. They make fun of me. Behind my back, in front of my face. They don't care. They just mock. That probably stems from leadership. Pastor Greg always says, you mock me. I'll preach behind them. You know, I get going. Man, he can get that vein going. You know what I'm saying? I just hold. He's the man. God, why'd I say that? Take that out. But we're not mocking like with our action, like just with our tongues or with our words. We mock him with our actions. You know, we expect God's blessing. Man, bless me, bless me, bless me. But in our lifestyle, we don't have that reaping and sowing mentality. We didn't sow into the right things. So the question I want to ask you today is, what are you investing your life in? It goes on to say, the one who sows into the sinful nature, to please that sinful nature, from that sinful nature will reap destruction. And the one that sows into the Spirit, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. There's two decisions that you have to make. Your life, my life, it's based on choices. Wouldn't you agree? It's a choice after choice after choice. Every day you wake up, there's an alarm clock that goes off. How many of you listen to talk radio and it comes up to talk radio? Anybody with me? How many of you got the annoying, me too. Although my baby monitor is now our alarm clock. At about 6:30, one goes off. Then the other one chimes in. It's like harmony. Macy. And then we have a decision to make. When I say we, I mean I have a decision to make. Do I act like I'm sleeping and snore louder? Come on, like you ain't never done it. Y'all like, oh my God. Every single man in here has done it. You have kids. You like, you don't move. You know what I'm saying? You like even stop your breathing. And that works with one, but now that you have two, it's like, it's two on two. Casey will just wake me up. Get up. She doesn't do it like that. She's really nice. But I think our life's based on choices. You get up, and like for a student, it's like, do I brush my teeth or do I put a piece of gum in my mouth? That's a choice. There's a lot of them over there right now. I heard them singing. I smelt them singing. That's a choice. I've lost them. Yes. There's another choice. Bath or no bath? That's the question. Junior high boys. Oh, my God. We go on retreats. It could be a week. There's always that one. You know what I'm talking about. There's always that one that's wearing the same thing on Friday as he did on Monday. We had a kid come. Most people bring big bags, right? We're like, boom. He came with his money. And he had a toothbrush and deodorant in his pocket, and that's it. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's a choice. I don't advise it, but that's a choice. You go to lunch. There's many choices out there, but let's say we walk into McDonald's. I'm not saying that that's a good, healthy choice. But let's say you walk into McDonald's. You have a choice. Do you go dollar menu or do you go value meal? Okay. Big Mac or nuggets? If you go Big Mac, is that with or without cheese?
With.
Do you scrap all that and you get a salad? Oh, no. If we're at McDonald's, the salad's just as bad as the double quarter pounder with cheese. You know what I'm saying? Because that dressing, you just get it all over it. I'd like it on the side. You know, like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to like it on the side, but I just dump it all in. It's a choice. Then you got another choice. You can go to Sonic. And this is holy. Tater tots or fries? With or without cheese? It's a choice. And it's your choice. A man, singular, reaps what he, singular, sows. It's our choice. You know, I'm 28 years old, but I'm seeing that there's been five main choices that I've made that have developed who I am today. Five. Now, you can add to them, you can subtract, maybe. Just take them at face value. Number one, do I finish high school? Is this even church? Please come back next week, I promise. See, in that choice, your parents usually push you, right? They push you to be your best, to finish school. But ultimately, it's your choice. Number two, do you go to college? And what do you major in? That's a choice. And that's a big choice. That develops your path. That puts you down this way or that way or another way. It's a choice, and it's a major choice. And then within that choice, there's a million choices of how you do it. Whether you do it like my brother, who never got below a 95, or you do it like me, you hope to get above an 80. A little bit higher than that. There's choices. The fourth and major choice, I think, in my life was, who do I marry? That's big. That is a big choice. There are people that wake up after the honeymoon and they get back and they roll over and they're like, what have I done? You know that's a problem. It's a big choice. That's why we tell our teenagers, man, don't just date anybody and everybody and just go, man, make an informed decision. There's a choice. The biggest choice I ever made was when I was 18, and I decided to give my whole heart to Christ. And that's the main one. That's the biggest choice I've ever made in my life, was to receive Christ at 18 and just give him my everything. I grew up in church. Yeah, I said prayers. I did this. But it was at 18 that I said, here I am, God. You have everything. I made a choice. It was my choice. No one else could do it for me. But my parents couldn't make that choice for me. They could pray for me and lead me in the right with the right example. And they did that. I was the only kid, like, on Wednesday practice, you know, getting dragged out at 6:30 to go to church. I had a good parent. Just a parent. See, his choices. 18, made the number one choice to follow Christ. Second choice to that, I believe it with all my heart, was who I married. And I did good. I married up, as Daryl told me the other day. Thank God she's blind, you know. I had a good game. She came and spoke a good game. She couldn't see me. I caught her without her contacts one day. Then she put them in like, oh. She already committed. But it's a big choice. It's a big choice. And in this verse here, it says, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You sow into your sinful nature, or you sow to the Spirit. And this is like the battle that most of us are facing on a daily basis. We wake up with a choice. Do I go towards God? Do I invest my life into the things of God? Or do I invest it into myself? And it's a tug. It's like this battle. It's like a tug of war. My brother told me it's like two dogs that are battling. And whichever one you feed more is going to win. And I would get to this place in my life, and I'd be wanting to go this way or that way. And I stood at a crossroad, and I had to make a choice. I had to invest my life into God, or I had to invest it into my sinful nature. Every day I come home, and if it's good weather, I meet Casey at the door, and she meets me with a kiss. And no, that didn't happen. We're not like the Beavers or anything like that. Mostly she's got two kids. She's like, take them. I'm joking. But I go straight for Peyton. I do. I give my wife a kiss, and I go straight for Peyton, and we go outside. If you know Peyton, his nickname's Tasmanian Devil. Because he's full of energy. He can, like, spot things in the room that are, like, worth a lot of money. And he's gone. I get him, and I take him outside, and we had this experience a while back where ants got in his crib. I know, and they bit him, and murder rose up in my heart. These ants could not get away. And if you think it was bad for me, Casey went in there. She had sprays on both sides. I mean, we're like, we're going to kill every ant in the world. You know, that's like our mission. And so when it started getting a little bit nicer weather, we went outside, and I took Peyton out. There's ant piles in our backyard. I'm not a good groundskeeper. And Casey's like, well, before we do that, we need to get some ant killer. And so we get the granules, right? And you know, you're supposed to shake a little bit. Just shake a little bit. I'm gone at work. Casey's deciding, I'm going to kill some ants today. We got a big bag. Like four ant piles in our backyard. Just a little. She pours. Every ant pile has this much poison. She's like, we are going to get them. And you know they move like 2 feet over and build their colony. But what happened was, Peyton comes out there. We don't have anything in our backyard. No play set. It's just grass. Our tree died. We had to throw it over the fence. It's just open field. It's just open. And so We have a barbecue pit, too. So I go out there, I got in my hand, and this is like the Terminator. Peyton. Sees the poison. And he gets this evil look in his eye. And he looks up at Dad. The kids have heard this story. He looks up. And I'm like the Heavenly Father over him. Do not go. And you know, it's like slow-mo. Do not touch the poison. And all he hears is, wah, 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 wah. So Peyton's good. He plays it safe. Goes into the middle of the yard. We throw up a soccer ball. Woo, that's good for 2 seconds. I throw him up. Put him down. And we're thinking we're having a great time. All of a sudden, I'm getting the two balls, the basketball in the corner, because he kicked them over there. So I'm away. A dead sprint. He takes off. It's not like that. He doesn't have good form yet. It's like... I'm teaching him. And I'm across the yard. Casey's inside with the baby. And I'm like screaming, no! To the top of my lungs. Neighbors are coming out like thinking there's a murder going on in our house. And it's just slow-mo. And he's like, tuff, tuff. He looks back and smiles. As he's in the air, he's in the poison. I mean, just wallowing in it, doing the backstroke. And I'm floored. I'm like, I'm so angry. I am like, Peyton, no! I pick him up by the arm, you know, like they're dangling a little bit. He's got poison all over him. I'm rushing him to the sink. Turn it on. Casey's like, what is wrong? He's gonna die! I'm washing him off. I'm lecturing him. You know, like he knows what I'm saying. You should not do that. You are evil and you must be destroyed. Washing him off. I said, you can't go back outside ever. We went out 5 minutes later. He started destroying the house. But you don't have to teach a kid how to be bad. You don't have to teach a kid how to get in trouble. They just know. And Peyton is good. See, it's the sin nature that we all battle with. It might not be ant poison, but we walk outside and we're like that. Ooh-wee. I'll go there. You know what I'm saying? There's like this inner struggle with all of us. Paul said it in Romans 7. He says, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. Did you get that? What I desire to do, what I know is right, I tend to go away from. I heard the Father's voice say stay away from it, but I just couldn't. And there's this inner struggle to go to the sinful nature that we all have inside of us. But there's this something that is leading us to choose the God nature. Listen to what Galatians chapter 5 says this. It talks about what the sinful nature is. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19, it says this, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're obvious. You don't have to teach a person what's wrong and what's right. It's just kind of in us. The law was created so that we know exactly, but you know what's wrong and what's right. And we always tend to lean on what's wrong. I don't know why, but here's what the fruit of the Spirit is. This is sowing into the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such thing, there's no law. Man, this is what we're supposed to be sowing into. The goodness of God, the kindness, the gentleness. Man, there's a moment in time where you are in the heat of battle, maybe with a spouse, maybe with a parent, and there's this heated conversation. There's a choice that you make. Do I lean towards the gentleness and kindness of the Spirit and talk, not yell? Because let's face it, you're going to have discussions in marriage. Whereas a parent, I have lots of them with Peyton. He doesn't understand yet. Or you can go the other direction, which are obvious, the sinful nature. There's a tug of war. There's a tug of war that's going. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest heroes of faith, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, had the struggle. And he wrote to this church that had a struggle, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Because he knew that there were people that were battling with the choice. They were battling with the tug of war. They were battling with the decision to go from the sinful nature or to the Spirit. And we have to have something inside of us that points us in a direction that acts like a compass that points us to the Spirit. For me, it's people. I tell kids all the time, you got to get around some people that are going the same direction. And that ain't for kids, that's for adults. I get around men that are going in a better direction than I am. I get around men that are better fathers than I am. I'm bad. I let them go in poison. Couldn't stop it. I get around people, ministers. I hang around my pastor. I hang around him every chance I get. Can I go with you? I just want to be around him. I want to be a better man. He inspires me to be a better husband, to be a better dad. And I got to get around these people that are going in the right direction. Daryl Wittenberg, I love getting around him. I do. And I'm not trying. His daughter's like, "You mention him again in your sermon." His daughter gets embarrassed every time I mention him. He's the one that gave me the idea, get a glue stick. What does that mean? For Peyton, it's like, get a glue stick. And hit him. That poison won't come around anymore. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I get around people that can lead me in the right direction. Because I know my nature. I know my nature's not to go there. It fights it. There's a tug of war. It's a battle. It's a daily battle that I have to choose to go in the right direction. Here's a question. How do I invest my life in serving God? I think there's three options that we can have. How many of you like multiple choice tests? That was always, you know. You don't think there's prayer in school? God, lead my pencil. See. Or you turn it sideways and you do the mountain range. You know what I'm talking about? Or you can just do C. C, 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 C. I'm going to give you some options here, A, B, and C. Here's some options for our life that we can choose in our relationship with God. How we serve, how we invest into those things. A, I choose not to invest my life in serving God. That's a choice. And many people choose A. B, I choose to invest my life in serving God, but in a way that very few people will really know. That's a choice. Or C, I choose to invest my life in serving God and go public and make hell regret that I was ever born. Dude, that fires me up. I was at this D now, this band opened up. Get this, the band opened up with Eye of the Tiger. I ran through a brick wall, I think, that night. I heard dun, 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 dun. Come on. Dun, dun, dun. All right. I'm just making sure you've seen the movie. The youth didn't get it, though. They were like, that's cool. Dude, all of us adults in the back were like, because it brings out the eye of the tiger. Pastor always says it, you know, when she's in the coma. You know what I'm talking about? You know. Pastor always talks about it. And she wakes up and Rocky's by her side. And she says, "Come here." He leans down and she says, "When?" And he gets that look in his eye. And he just gets up and he starts chasing chickens and putting wood on his back. And cool. But that music's blaring and there's something inside of him that says, this dude's going to regret that he ever picked to fight me. And man, inside of me in serving God, I think there's only three choices that we have. Revelation chapter 3 says, either be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm, that B type lifestyle. Be hot or cold. I don't like it when people choose A, don't serve God, but I like it better than B. You know what I'm saying? And I think God respects it more than B. Choose just not to sit on the fence. You know, anything you straddle in life hurts. It's not good. You'll end up falling on one side or the other. Maybe the good side, but most of the time the bad side. And we got to choose to go public. I think there's two important days in your life. The day that you were born, January 17th, 1980. I see some of the elderly people like, God. And then the day that you discovered why you were born. Man, I was 18 years old. The great theologian, Jimi Hendrix. No, he's a guitar player. Said it's better to burn out than to fade away. Dude, I'd rather leave a trail behind me than just fade. I don't want the hearse that I'm riding in to have no cars following it. Man, there's something inside of me that just gets, man, tenacious about my pursuit for God. I want to do all that I can. I want hell to hate me. I want them to know my name. You know? Because nothing you do halfway is ever any fun. It's got to be all or nothing. Crossing a street. If you do it halfway, not fun. A plate of General Tso's chicken. If you eat it halfway, no fun. Makeup? Halfway? No fun. There's no fun in that. I've never been to a movie and like in an hour, you know, after an hour, I look at Casey and like, let's go. That was great. No. You go all the way. And I think in our pursuit of Christ and serving Christ and our choice to choose Christ, we have to go all out. We have to commit or quit. Commit totally. The ancient Greeks had a method of doing battle. And their method of doing battle was one that was well motivating in their soldiers. They could get their soldiers to do anything. They had great leadership. And they would park the boat, so to speak. They'd dock. And the leaders would tell them, get out. And they'd file out. And the leaders would huddle up on the boat. And in that huddle, I kind of look at it as a football mentality. They start to get the game plan. And then one of the leaders pulls out a match, throws it down, and burns the boat. They all go out. And can you imagine being a soldier and looking back and like, what's going on? And the leaders came out. And with the eye of the tiger, they said, there's no plan B. We're not going back. We're going to go forward, we're going to win, or we're going to die. But we're not going back. We don't have another option. This is the only place that we're going. This is the moment that we got to live in. And I'm telling you, we got to have that as believers. I believe that we are in a moment of this church that we have to burn the boats. Let's burn the past and let's look forward. Paul said, one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I press on towards the goal which I'm called heavenward in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for tenacity that we have to have three services and four services and I get tired thinking about the services that we're going to have. Because every single person here decided to say, I'm going C. I'm going to pick C. Hell's going to regret the day that I was ever born. When should I invest my life? As much as you can and as often as you can. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing good, but at the proper time you'll reap a harvest if you don't give up. Man, some of you out here, I know, are going through some stuff. I know. Not prophetically, I just know. You've told me you're going through just some stuff. But if you can take this and invest your life into the things of God, into the Spirit, you will reap eternal life. You will reap here on earth abundant life. Maybe this is just a season, but God's law is true. And if you don't give up at a due time, you will reap the harvest. In your own personal life, you will reap. Persevere in sowing. Persevere in investing. Keep going. Understand that this is God's law, not our law, and you will reap a harvest. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. I'm going to close today, and I want you to really, really just tune in. I've got just a few more things to say. Number one, plan ahead. Make an action plan to invest your life into the right things. Every January, I know it's kind of cliche, but we make a resolution. And it's not, we don't call it a resolution, we just call it a game plan. And we put down things that we want to see happen in our life. Personally, ministerially, family-wise, we put things down. And we put it up, and Casey and I get in bed, and we just kind of like, what do you want to do? Well, I don't know, what do you want to do? But we make a plan. And that way we can post it on the bathroom window or whatever, and we can read it each day so it keeps us on the right track. Matthew 11:12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take back their ground through spiritual action and assertiveness. Plan ahead. Number two, evaluate your results frequently. I think this is probably one of the hardest things to do. You know, we have this mentality of just, I'm just living for the moment. But I think we can take some time to look back. Maybe not way back. I'm not talking pre-BC days before Christ. But I'm talking about, hey, what have I been investing my life in for the past year? Have I seen dividends? Have I seen a return on my investment? Did I get what I was getting in? Did I get it? Evaluate your results frequently. Three, keep asking questions along the journey. I talked about this before because I get around people that know a lot more than I do. I just have a little bit of knowledge, just a little bit. But I want to get around people that can make me better. And you know, I'd rather learn a lesson the easy way than the hard way. I'd rather learn it through someone telling me not to go down that path. I'm not too prideful to say, hey, I don't need help, I'm just going to do it. Pastor Greg was a youth pastor for 16 plus years. And I get around him, I'm like, Pastor, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And he's not shy to say, wouldn't do it. Because here's why. Here's my example. And this is what I've learned. When I invested in that, this was the return I got. And I'm quick to say, thank you. I won't do it. I'm going to find something else to do. You got to get around people and continue to ask people questions along your journey. If you don't, you're just going to stay in the same vein your entire life, doing the same old thing, getting the same old return. Man, I look at my investments annually, quarterly, monthly to make sure that they are doing well. I want to see that my money is growing. Amen? If it's not, I'm asking questions. I'm calling my financial advisor. What's happening? What do I need to do? How do I need to get a better return? What do I need to do to get that better return? And lastly, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Persevere. Keep going. Go to the last mile. Man, when I was in sports, this was a lot easier said than done. But we'd run and we'd run and we'd run. But you never gave up. You were not that guy that stopped. You would have to go and hang your head over the fence, do your business, and then come back. But you never gave up. And I think that if we can get that mentality inside of us, man, we will reap the harvest at a proper time. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, man, just sow your word in our hearts. God, that it would reap just great things. God-sized things. Today, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed, I want to ask you a question. If you're here today and you've never made the choice to invest your life in Jesus Christ, then I want to give you that opportunity. I want to give you the opportunity to say, yeah, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give it to Him because I know that is the decision that I need to make today.